I wonder if a victorious people would put those hands together and clap them and give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Amen. God is so good. Amen. We could be preparing for a funeral right now, but God, Sister Wanda was able to walk out of this place on her own. Amen. God is so good. Amen. So good. He's greatly to be praised. If you would stand with me for a few brief moments, I want to turn your attention to the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Just a few short verses of scripture today. And my intentions are not to be too long, Sister Emily, but I can't speak for the Holy Ghost. So if I go over, just don't be upset at me. Be upset at Jesus, all right? I'm just teasing. I understand that I'm the only thing standing between you and dinner today, and I don't want to be that guy. So I want to preach to you today for just a few moments what I have in my heart. If you meet me in the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter, verse 1. Everybody say amen when you get there. Isaiah 54 and 1. The word of the Lord says, "Sing, O barren." Boy, that right there, Brother Kyler, is just something that don't make sense to an old carnal mind. You're telling the barren to sing. Man, now I want you to let that sink in for just a few moments as we continue reading here. "Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, but lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Ooh. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Your return will only be as great as your investment." I'm going to say that one more time. Your return will only be as great as your investment. The Lord will not feel what you will not build. I got some folks are feeling this with me today. The Lord will not feel what you will not build. I want to preach to this body today for just a few moments. I know this is an unorthodox service. I know Sister Wanda fainted, and we had a little break right there in the middle, and we're all concerned, and we're all waiting on a report from Brother Norm. We're all believing God that she is okay. But for a few moments, I want you to just get everything out of your mind and let's just put our focus upon Jesus today. And I want to tell you that God will not feel what you are not willing to build. And I want to speak to this body for just a few moments on this topic: the tragedy of a tiny tent. The tragedy of a tiny tent. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord together all over this house. Come on, if you're believing God for great things, if you appreciate God and all of His goodness in your life, for Him waking you up this morning and starting you on your way, for health in your body and food on your table and a roof over your head today, I want you to give the Lord a hand clap of praise and let's make a joyful noise unto Him together. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to speak to you for a few moments on the tragedy of a tiny tent. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. Amen. We're taking our text from the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter. But for a few moments, I want to talk about the chapter that precedes it in the one chapter before where we have taken, where we have chosen our text today in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. The word of the Lord tells us of the price that Jesus paid long before he paid it. The Bible prophesies, the prophet prophesied that our Messiah would come, that he would live amongst us, that he would die, and he would die a horrible death on our behalf. He would shed his precious blood that we might have life and have it more abundant. Isaiah prophesied of the coming of Jesus and the price that he would pay long before he ever paid it. 712 years before Joseph and Mary took their trip to Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah foretold of the sufferings of Christ Jesus in amazing detail. It is only fitting today that the very next chapter, in chapter 54, that he would tell of the effect that it would have on the Lord's bride. How many know the Lord's bride today is the church? He would tell of the effect that the Lord's suffering, the Lord's dying, the Lord's resurrecting would have upon his church. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in her spirit. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee together." How many know that the Lord is getting ready a church? How many know the Lord is getting ready a bride today? In Isaiah 54, the children of Israel are experiencing a spiritual barrenness. But let me tell you something. Isaiah prophesied that that barrenness was going to fade away. Isaiah prophesied that the flourishing of the church was on its way. The expansion of the church and the introduction of the gospel that we talked about this morning to the Gentiles. 712 years before it ever happened, Isaiah saw what some people who are still in the church today cannot see. He saw it. He saw that God came to save that which was lost. Come on, he's not interested in our level of comfort today. He's not interested in giving us every single thing we want. He's interested in the lost today. And Isaiah saw it long before it ever came to pass. And Isaiah saw what many that are in the church cannot see today. The Lord came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to bring us out. He came to set us free. He came to wash us clean. He came to redeem us unto himself. And Jesus said, "I speak to them in parables because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." But he said, "Blessed are your eyes," to his disciples. Blessed are your eyes to his disciples. Blessed are your eyes to his disciples. Blessed are your eyes to his disciples because you see today. Blessed are your eyes because you see today. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Hallelujah. This right here is exactly why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And by faith, the Bible promises us that the elders will obtain a good report. Amen. It's by faith that the hand of God is moved. Never in the Word of God did it say that the church was to be weak. Come on, is anybody with me today? Never in the Word of God did the Bible say that the church is to take a back seat to the world. Never in the Word of God does it say the church is supposed to be weak. Never in the Word of God did it say that the church is supposed to take a back seat. Come on, is there anybody that believes the Word of God is true today? But I'll tell you what it did say. It did say you're going to break forth on the right hand and you're going to break forth on the left hand, and get ready, because that barrenness is not going to continue, but the Lord is going to open up your womb and you're going to bring forth. You're going to bring forth and you're going to have birth. Hallelujah. Never, amen, in the Word of God did it tell us to just sit back and take it easy. Amen. You're going to break forth on the right hand. Somebody needs to claim that right now. I'm going to break forth on the right hand. Come on, you're going to break forth on the left hand. Somebody needs to understand right now, you're blessed coming and you're blessed going. You're a child of God today. You got another day as a child of the King. You're blessed today. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You're going to be blessed in the city and you're going to be blessed in the field. Come on, but your return will only be as great as your investment. Your return will only be as great as your investment. It's God's job to give the increase. Come on, can I tell somebody today, it's God's job to give the increase. It's our job to increase our capacity. Because only so much will fit in a tiny tent. I'm preaching to this church today the tragedy of a tiny tent. Can I tell you, if you're not willing to build it, He's not willing to fill it. If you're not willing to expand it, if you're not willing to enlarge it, if you're not willing to have expectation that God's going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain, God's not going to fill past your expectations today. He's not going to fill past your expectations today. Your return will only be, amen, as great as your investment. And when you enlarge your capacity for God by stretching your commitment to God, God will expand your influence. How many know sometimes stretching causes pain? Anybody, I don't want you to blow your back out, but anybody ever reach over and try to touch your toes and see what that feels like? If you've been sitting for a while, you're all stiff and you ain't flexible. Sometimes stretching can cause a little bit of pain. Can I tell you that growth will cause a little bit of pain? Can I tell you, God opening the windows of heaven and pouring you out a blessing to where your cup is running over will sometimes cause a little bit of pain in your life. But if you want what God has for you, you're going to be willing to expand and enlarge the place of your tent. You're going to be willing to drive those stakes a little bit deeper. You're going to be willing to expand and lengthen those curtains in your life. Hallelujah. When you enlarge your capacity for God by stretching your commitment to God, He will expand your influence in Christ. Acts 19 speaks about how many who believed came and they confessed and they showed forth their deeds. And the Word of God grew mightily and the Word of God prevailed. How many know the Word of God is still prevailing today? The Word of God is still increasing mightily today. Let me tell you something. Many denominational churches are fading right on out of the picture. But I'm talking to pastors all the time that pastor apostolic churches in difficult places. And let me tell you something right now. The nominal churches are giving them their buildings. They're surrendering things over to them. Why? Because the apostolic church is on the move in these last days. And we're experiencing a revival even in the midst of all the confusion and all the turmoil. The apostolic church is still experiencing revival. And we got to enlarge our tents. And we got to enlarge our campground, and we got to expand our curtains, and we got to drive our stakes a little bit deeper in preparation for what God's about to do. Amen. The Word of God is still prevailing today. His death, His burial, His resurrection. The death of Jesus Christ is the life and the empowerment of the church. Because He died, we can live. The death of Jesus Christ is the life and the empowerment of the church today. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. A certain woman came one time to a prophet named Elisha. And she told Elisha, she said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. He was a good man. He feared God. You know, he loved God with all of his heart." She said, but thy servant, my Lord, my husband, he has passed away. And now the creditor has come to collect on the debt. And he wants to take my two boys from me. And he wants to make them slaves to pay off the debt of their father. How many know that the enemy wants to take away what's most important to you? How many know the enemy wants to take what matters most to you? Let me tell you something. If you love it today, the devil wants to take it from you. If it means something to you today, the devil wants to take it from you. If it brings glory and happiness and joy into your life, the devil wants to take it from you. Amen. And this creditor, this woman tells the prophet Elisha, she says, the creditor has come. He wants to take my boys away and make them his slaves so they can pay the debt of their father. Elisha says, he tells this woman, he says, what is it that you got left in your house? And she said, sir, I don't have hardly anything left in my house except for a pot of oil. Now maybe someone here today that feels in your heart, I have nothing left. But let me tell you something today. If all you got left is a little bit of anointing in your vessel today, you got more than enough to make it through what you're going through. You got more than enough to get you to tomorrow, to where the sun can shine again and the Lord can open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain. As long as you still have your vessel, the Lord is able to fill that vessel. Can I tell somebody today that if all you have left is your anointing is going to be enough. The Spirit of God on the inside of you is more than enough today. It's more than enough today. Come on, I said it's more than enough today. You're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And I tell you today, the planes are made for the air and not for the hangar. Planes are made for the air and not for the hangar. God's plan will never be fulfilled in mediocrity. You settling for what the world has to offer you. You settling for what your flesh has to offer you. You settling for what this life has to offer you is you living below your privileges. Because you, my friend, were made to fly. You, my friend, were made for the air. You, my friend, are a child of the King. Another day today, and you're blessed coming and going. Clap your hands if you're blessed in this house today. You are made for the air and not for the hangar. Don't settle for mediocrity today. Elisha tells this poor little widow, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to step out on faith. I want you to quit paying attention to everything that's around you right now. Right now, we're going to put our trust in the Lord. He said, I want you to get out of this house. I want you to go down the street. I want you to start banging on your neighbor's doors. And I want you to tell them you need every vessel they got in their house. And he said, don't you borrow just a few, because I believe God is big enough that he's going to pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. He said, don't you borrow just a few. What the prophet was saying to the woman was, you need to expand your tent. You need to get rid of that little bitty tent, because there's a tragedy to having a little bitty tent. Let me tell you something. I am almost 300 pounds, and I ain't made for little bitty tents. I am 6'2", Brother Harold. And I wasn't made for no little bitty tent. Big stuff don't fit in little tents. If you want more from God, you got to expand your tent. If you want more from God, you got to increase your faith. If you want more from God, you got to be more faithful than you have been. If you want more from God, you got to show up to prayer meeting. If you want more from God, you got to get in Bible study. If you want more from God, you got to begin to pray and seek the Lord today. Because big stuff don't fit in little tents. I mean, ever seen a fat guy in a little shirt? Fat guys don't fit in little shirts, and big guys don't fit in little tents. Amen. And let me tell you something. Our great big God is too much for your little bitty tent. It's time for you to expand your thinking, expand your faith, expand your commitment, expand your family, expand your finances, expand your giving. Do it and watch and see if God don't fill that tent today. God will not fill what you will not build. And big stuff don't fit in little bitty tents. Hallelujah. We got to expand. We got to enlarge the place of our tent. Let me show you. It's what the Lord was saying, what Elisha was saying to this little widow. He said, let me show you what the Lord can do. You're sitting here telling me what the creditor's going to do. Come on, sometimes we're more worried about what the creditor's going to do than what God's going to do. Sometimes we're more worried about what our enemy's going to do than what God can do. I think it's time for us to take our face and our sight and our mind off of the things of this world and get it back on God where it belongs. I think it's time we realize that we serve a big God today who wants to fill a big tent today, because little things don't have the power to stir your blood. But let me tell you something, when God does something big in your life, man, you're never going to forget it. You're never going to forget it. Just ask some of the folks in this church that God healed them from a heart attack. Just ask some of the folks in this church, God healed them from cancer. Just ask some of them, God delivered from drugs and alcohol. Just ask some of them, God delivered from pornography. When God does something big in your life, you ain't going to forget what he did. You're going to need to expand that tent, somebody. You're going to need to grow that faith, somebody. You're going to need to build something bigger for God to fill in your life. He said, don't you go borrow just a few vessels. You step out on faith and let's see what God can do. Moses told the children of Israel that the Lord did not set his love upon them nor choose them because they were more in number than any other people. He said, God didn't choose you because you were the mightiest of people. Can I tell you today, God didn't choose you because you were the mightiest of people. God didn't choose you because you had it all together. God didn't choose you because you were the most promising and you were voted most likely to succeed. God chose you because he saw something in you. God chose you because he know he made you to fly. He created you for greater things. But as long as you're stuck in the tragedy of a tiny tent, you're only going to get what's going to fit in that tent. Man, me and Brother Jason went on a camping trip not too long ago. And Brother Paul, you should have seen me and Brother Jason in that little tent. Bro, wasn't no pretty sight, Brother Chris. Let me tell you something. It ain't no fun being all cramped up. It ain't no fun not having no room to move about. It ain't no fun having no fresh air, no room to move and breathe and rejoice. I'm telling somebody in this house today, if you want more from God, you got to expand your tent. I'm telling somebody in this house today, if you want more from God, you got to believe him for greater things. Come on, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to get out of that little bitty tent that you have made, and you're going to have to expand that place. You're going to have to believe God for something greater and watch and see if he don't do for you what he did for this little widow. Don't just borrow just a few, but believe God for great things today. And watch and see what God can do. The Lord told the children of Israel, I didn't choose you because you were the mightiest of people. Come on. He says, for you were the fewest of all people. But if you will hearken unto the Lord, even though you are the fewest of all people, if you will increase your capacity, I will do my part. It's God's part to give the increase. Paul planted. Apollos watered. But who gave that increase? God gave that increase. It ain't your job to give your own increase. If that were the case, we'd all give ourselves a raise this week. I got two amens. I thought everybody would say amen. But it ain't our job to give our own increase. It's our job to increase our own capacity. It's our job to build something bigger that God would fill it. It's our job to step out on faith and to believe God for greater things. Moses told the children of Israel, he said, even though you are the fewest of all the people in the land, if you will hearken unto the Lord, if you will increase your capacity, if you will enlarge your tent, it will not stay that way. Come on, you will not stay barren. You can go ahead and start singing right now because the barrenness is about to go away. You don't wait for the baby to come to start rejoicing. You praise him right now. You give him glory right now. You believe God for greater things right now. And then the baby will come. That barrenness will go away. That birth will come into your life. Elisha said, let me show you what God can do. Moses said, let me show you what God can do. This barrenness, it ain't going to stay this way. But God's going to multiply you. Come on, somebody say hallelujah today. God is going to multiply you. God is going to make you the head and not the tail. God is going to make you the lender and not the borrower. But you got to prepare. You got to believe. You got to have expectation in your heart that God is going to do great things in your life. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, but lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, because that little bitty tent is not going to be able to handle what God is going to give you in your life. I'm talking to you about the tragedy of a tiny tent. One of the things that I struggled with when we started this church was what I like to call small church mindset. Let me tell you something. You can't pastor a church of 150 like you do a church of 50. You got to change your mindset. And I come to tell somebody in this house today, you cannot be responsible for a salary of $200,000 the same way you do for a salary of $25,000. You got to change your mindset. I come to tell somebody today, you got to be willing to enlarge yourself. You got to be willing to enlarge the place that you want God to fill. You got to be willing to build with expectation in your heart. You got to be willing to step out on faith and believe God for greater things today. Hallelujah. Your little bitty tent can't handle what God wants to do for you. But where God does not see expectation, he will not meet it. And that's the truth. It's faith that moves the hand of God. It's faith that moves God's hand today. Let me tell you something. Brother Mike was talking about Brother and Sister Beebe a while ago. Let me tell you something. The Beebes did not just pray and say, God, send revival to Malta. No, you know what they did? They went out and they traveled the land and they raised funds and they said, God, send us to Malta and let you bring revival through us to Malta. God will not meet an expectation that is not cast. He wants to do amazing things in your life, but so many times we get caught up in this mindset that resembles a tiny tent. If you want God to do great things in your life, you got to build your tent bigger. You got to tell God you're expecting him for greater things. Huh? You got to tell God you're expecting him for mighty things. Because listen to me today, your expectation is a representation of your faith. It is. Your expectation is a representation to God of your faith. What you expect God to do symbolizes to God how great your faith is. If you're believing God for great things, you got to cast your expectations today. You got to build that tent just a little bit bigger Amen. I'm not looking for a little bitty move of God, church. I'm looking for revival. I'm looking for a mighty move of God. I'm looking for these seats to be full. I'm looking for that wall to be blown out or us to move to another building. I'm telling you, it's been prophesied. It's been spoken into my life that God is going to multiply this church. And I believe God for great things today. But we got to expand our tent. We got to enlarge our tent today. And we got to believe God for great things. Your expectation will always be a representation of your faith. If you only expect the Lord for a little, guess what? You're going to receive a little. If you only have enough faith to receive a little, you're only going to receive a little. But if you expect Him for something mighty, by faith, He's going to do something mighty. By faith, He's going to do something mighty. Peter would have never walked on water if he didn't get out of the boat. David would have never slain that giant if he didn't walk down into the valley of Elah and brush off his brother's offense and say, I come in the name of the Lord. David would have never killed that giant, somebody. Jerusalem would have never been rebuilt if Nehemiah wouldn't have left the king's house as his cupbearer and said, I got big plans for the house of God. I know that God wants to do great things. The children of Israel would have never been freed from the bondage of Pharaoh if some guy named Moses, who had no self-confidence and a speech impediment, didn't leave the backside of a desert and walk into the courtroom of a tyrant and say, God said, let my people go. It would have never happened if they didn't have expectation in their heart. It's time for somebody in this house to expand your tent. I know that God has told me to tell you today. Gideon was so afraid of the Midianites that he was hiding in a wine press threshing wheat. He was that afraid of what his enemies was going to take from him. He knew if they seen him, they would take his wheat from him. He knew he was weaker than they were, but the angel of the Lord one day found him under an oak tree. How many know God knows exactly where you're at? God knows exactly where you're at. God knows exactly what you're going through. God knows exactly what you need, and God knows exactly what you're able to handle. And if you ain't willing to build that tent bigger, guess what? God ain't going to fill it no more than you're willing to build it. I'm talking to you today about the tragedy of a tiny tent. The angel greeted Gideon under that oak tree. He walks up to him and he says, hail, thou mighty man of valor. I can see Gideon looking around. Who is this guy talking to, man? I'm over here hiding in a wine press, threshing my wheat, worried about whether my enemy's going to take it from me. But the Lord did not see Gideon where he was at. The Lord saw Gideon for what he could make him in Christ. The Lord saw Gideon for what he could do in his life. Hallelujah. Church, it's time to expand your tent today. The Lord wants to do something miraculous in your life for His kingdom, but you got to come out of your comfort zone. It's a whole lot more comfortable to just leave the tent the way it is. It ain't that comfortable to cut a hole in the side and to add some more curtains and to add some more stakes and to add some more yarn and some more ropes. It ain't real comfortable to have to go down and buy some deeper stakes to get, because it takes deeper stakes to hold down a larger tent. Come on, is somebody picking up what I'm dropping today? God wants to do something bigger in your life, but you're settling for some little bitty tent that God wants to give you more than what will fit in that little bitty tent today. It's the tragedy of a small mindset. It's the tragedy of a tiny tent. Let me tell you something. God wants to do something miraculous in you, but it's going to take you getting out of your comfort zone. You got to enlarge your tent so God can fill it up. I don't care how worthless you feel today. Gideon felt worthless too. Moses felt worthless too. I don't care how insignificant you feel today. God has a plan for your life. God wants to do something amazing in your life, and God wants to use you for His glory. As the musicians come quickly to get us a song, church, I came to tell somebody today, I came to to tell somebody today it's time to build it bigger and God will fill it up. There's nothing that will work against you like your own mind will. There's nothing that will limit you. From the time we were children, we've been learning about the little train that was trying to go up the hill. I think somebody's trying to tell us something today. God wants to do bigger things for us, but we're settling for what we have. And God wants to do amazing things in our life, but we're not willing to get out of our comfort zone and build something bigger for God to feel today. Not too long ago, there were protesters in downtown Indianapolis throwing rocks, bottles at police officers, screaming, "Kill the police." Church, can I tell you, we got big problems today. Our world is a mess today. Our world is a mess today. Right now, our financial system is so volatile and so vulnerable. Right now, I'm scared to even open my 401k and see what it even looks like. We are living in uncertain times. We are living in perilous times. We are living in times where nothing else has ever earned our trust but the Lord Himself. Don't put your trust in your own finances. Don't put your trust in your own abilities. Don't put your trust in your own mindset. It's time for us to get wise and realize that our trust needs to be in the Lord today. Right is wrong and wrong is right. But while the world is headed in the wrong direction, the church is headed in the right direction. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the church today. Man, I was scrolling through Facebook yesterday and I saw a couple from the church posted a picture. They was down at the marriage retreat. And I seen one of their friends had got on their Facebook and they had commented. And this is what they said. They said, "We love watching you two become the people that you are today." And you talking about refreshing. I'll never forget, I had a guy at my work one time, Brother Paul, he comes up to me and he said, "John, I want you to know how much I really admire you." And I was very humbled by his kind words. But I looked at him and I said, "James, why would you admire me?" He said, "Man, you're blessed. You're blessed." I said, "You're right, I am blessed." I said, "But it ain't me that you're admiring. It's Christ in me." I said, "Everything you're seeing about my life that is good, it came from the Lord, sir." I said, "And you can have exactly what I have. You can walk in Christ. You can have a life in Christ. You can be blessed coming and going. You can be blessed in the city. And you can be blessed in the field. All you got to do is go to the same guy that I went to. You just need the Lord as your Savior. You just need Him as your counselor. You just need Him to give you direction in your life." Church, we are living in an uncertain time. We are living in a perilous time. And while the world continually becomes more unstable, it is creating tremendous opportunity for the church to have amazing revival. People are hurting more than they've ever hurt in their lives. People are more confused than they've ever been in their lives. And you have exactly what they need. If you're in our society of soul winners, I want you to lift your hands right now. I want everybody in this church to give the Lord a hand clap of praise for every one of these people. Because you know what they're doing? They're going out into the highways and the byways and they're compelling the people to come in and they're telling them how good God is today. That's what we got to do. That's enlarging our tent. That's believing God for greater things today. That's strengthening our cords. That's driving our stakes a little bit deeper. That's expecting God for bigger things today. Church, we got to expand the place of our tent today. I want somebody who's tired of being cramped up in that little bitty tent. I want somebody who's tired of a mindset that is disabling them and keeping them from enjoying the blessings of God in life. I want you to get out of that seat right now. I want you to walk to the front of this church. I want somebody who's tired of the enemy and tired of their flesh robbing them from the blessings that God has in store for you to get out of your seat right now. Walk up to the front of this church. I want somebody who's tired of being contained in the hangar when you know you was meant to fly, to get out of that seat and to walk up to the front of this church and say, Lord, help me to change my mindset, because I know that there's a tragedy to a tiny tent. I know that you are wanting to do amazing things in my life, but it's me, God, that stands in the way of the outpouring of your blessings. Change my mind. Change my heart. Change my expectations, oh God. I want to see a move in my family. I want to see a move in my children and my grandchildren. I want to be the best child of God that I can be today. Oh, I want somebody who says, my chemistry's off. My praise just ain't what it used to be. I gotta get my worship and my praise back. I've allowed things to sneak into my life and distort my views and change my opinions, when all the while living for God is the greatest life that I could ever have. Ooh. I want somebody who appreciates the Lord today. I want somebody who's lost their joy. The Lord wants to give you your joy back today. Come on, let's seek God together. Let's love God together. The Lord is not going to put new wine in an old bottle. The Lord's not going to put new wine in an old bottle. The Lord's not going to put revival, mighty revival, in a tiny tent. No, He wants to see your expectations today. It's God's job to give the increase, but it's our job to increase our capacity today. We need to expand the place of our tent. We need to strengthen our cords. We need to drive our stakes deep so that winds of false doctrine blow. They won't pull us out of that sacred place that God has planted us. I want somebody to come up here today that's expecting a harvest. The harvest is great. God wants to save your family. God wants to bless your finances. God wants to give you increase, but it ain't going to fit in that tiny tent. Are you willing to change your mindset today? As we sing this song, these altars.